Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not, because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, I wonder how many times Zacchaeus told people that story. I wonder how many times he regaled people of the day he went up a tree to see Jesus from a distance, and lo and behold, Jesus looked him in the eye, called him by name, and ended up going around for dinner. I wonder how many times he told that story. We love stories. Our culture loves stories. Stories are all around us in our news, on our TVs. We love stories. We're fascinated by them. Yesterday was a big part of my story, being priested, and it was a great, great occasion. I can't really put it into words, actually. So that's not much of a story, is it? But it was brilliant. It was just wonderful, and it's part of my story now. And it was really, really great. I've got friends and family here for the weekend, and I've got a friend here I was at university with, the rather smart gentleman in the middle there. And we laughed, didn't we, late into the night yesterday, remembering stories from the past, which I won't go into too many details about, actually. But we laughed for a long time together last night as we just talked and remembered stories, because stories become part of who we are. And they're so important to us. And actually, they're the way that we speak to each other. They're the way that we communicate. I wonder how many times Zacchaeus told that story. I wonder how many times the woman who Jesus met at the well told her story. We could ask the question of all of the people that Jesus met. How many times did they just go and say, "I met Jesus, it was amazing, I've just got to tell you about it"? Well, in St. Francis at the moment, we're in the middle of a little series thinking about how we share our faith with people, what it means to communicate what we believe to the people around us. And a lot of it is based on this book, which is by a guy called Bill Hybels. And it's called Just Walk Across the Room. And I've really enjoyed reading this. And the sermons aren't a blow-by-blow account of this, but I'd really recommend to you getting hold of it. I've found it a real encouragement. When I was sort of a younger Christian, if ever I read anything about evangelism, I felt guilty straight away. It just made me feel that I wasn't doing it properly or wasn't doing it right. And this book, actually, is probably one of the first things I've read on evangelism, which doesn't make me feel guilty. It makes me think that actually I've been doing it, and I can do it, and it makes me want to go out and do it. And so I'd really recommend it as a positive resource for you, and to fill in the gaps of the things we choose to particularly talk about here on Sundays. But Bill Hybels makes a big emphasis of developing friendships and relationships and being real with people and loving people for who they are and hearing stories, and particularly today, about ourselves sharing our stories with the people around us. And so maybe it's worth having in mind what your story is. Isn't it lovely in that song we just sung? Let the poor say, "I am rich. Let the weak say, I am strong," because of what the Lord has done. Actually, that was a prayer that one day people that we know will be able to say, "God has made a difference in my life." And maybe have in your mind that question as we start today, The New Testament says, always be ready to give a reason for what you believe. I wonder what Zacchaeus' reason would have been. I bet it was something about acceptance and grace and forgiveness and a new start. I wonder what your, as Bill Hybels puts it, before and after story is of what God has done in your life. It just so happens that last week I was at Fuse PM, which is our youth group, which I see Laura and Sophia, the faithful leaders of the group, are here as well today. And we were talking, funnily enough, actually quite by coincidence really, about how we share our faith. And we started by playing two games. The first game is the name game, where everyone puts a load of names of famous people in a hat, and then one by one you pull out the name, and the person's got a minute to see how many names they can describe to their team without using the name. So it's kind of charades, but you can sort of describe them and all those kind of things, and it was good fun. I realized I'm well out of touch with youth culture. I didn't know half the names they put in the hats. I had no idea. I'm getting so old, it's embarrassing. But I'm not going to tell you how old I am. I won't still be doing this in 60 years' time. I'd be absolutely amazed. But anyway, if I am, just come and retire me, if Susie hasn't already. What was I saying? Yeah, so the name game. And so the young people had to explain who they were talking about without actually saying who they were talking about. And then we played a game where I had six different categories, and people could choose a category at random, and they had a minute to speak on that subject. And they had the option to refuse the challenge. And so when people pulled out nuclear physics, very often they said, actually, I'm not able to talk about that for a minute. Laura even wasn't able to talk about nuclear physics for a minute. Amazing. Somebody did, which was quite impressive. But one of the other categories was, tell us about your best ever holiday. And of course, the person pulled that one out and was able to quite happily tell us about their holiday. Now, I wonder if our attempts to share our faith often feel like one of those two games. And this is what we talked about with the young people last week. That either we talk very vaguely in the hope that the person might just realize that actually we're talking about Jesus. Because it, certainly when I was younger, the school I went to, it wasn't a cool thing to go in and say, I believe in Jesus. So you might talk very vaguely. You might talk about creation. You might talk even about going to church. But actually to say the name of Jesus, I believe in Jesus, was almost the one thing you didn't dare do. You just hoped people would guess somehow. Or the other challenge was that actually you realize a moment has arrived for you to tell people what you believe. And it's like, my minute starts now, go. And you give them everything you've ever known about anything about Jesus. And then you take a deep breath and walk away. And actually what this book suggests, and actually what I think the Bible and what I think Jesus suggests to us, is that actually when those moments come to share our faith, we don't need to be really vague and hope they guess. We don't need to be sort of like an avalanche giving them everything. But actually we share our story and we tell people what our story is. So for the girl who could tell us about their holiday, it was easy for her. She could speak freely because it was personal experience that she was speaking from. And so what is your story? What are the stories of the people around you? Think about the way Jesus interacted with people. There was no one blanket universal, this is the way I will deal with everybody. No, instead he knew he had to deal with Zacchaeus in one way, and the woman at the well in another, and Peter in another, and Mary in another, and so on and so forth. Jesus just knew these individuals, as unique, precious people with their own stories, which meant that had to dictate the way he spoke to them. Bill Hybels says we need to discover people's stories, and that's absolutely right. And so as we develop friendships, we listen. And we listen carefully, not in just a waiting for our turn to speak, but really listening to people, to understanding who they are, what makes them tick, what they're about. I think often we have a bit of a tension when we think about sharing our faith in terms of befriending people and listening to them in order that we can then tell them about Jesus. And that can often appear quite cold, calculated, insincere, that all we're interested in is another convert. But actually, when we befriend people, when we listen to people, we are sharing our faith, non-verbally, in the early stages of it, but actually we're made by God, a God who is relational, a God who listens to us. And so as we develop friendships, particularly as we make sacrifices for friends, as we listen to people, we're in the beginnings of sharing what God is like. We're showing something of his character. So be encouraged, and this is the encouragement of this book, that if you're befriending people, if you're a good listener, You're in the process of sharing your faith. You're communicating something profound to the other person, that they have dignity, that they are unique, that they are worth listening to. And as we do that, we communicate what God is like as well. But of course, there are times where the moment comes for us to share. And we share our stories. In a couple of weeks, we're going to think about what God's story is and how we need to be familiar with that to share that too. But this week, sharing our stories, just as every person's story is unique and precious and amazing, so is yours. When I was a teenager, I heard a story of a guy, forgive me, some of the guys at breakfast a few months ago heard this, forgive me for that. I heard a story about a guy who was a Satanist, and he was covered in satanic tattoos, and a preacher came along, and he preached the gospel to him, and this rough, satanic, tattoo-covered person decided he wanted to become a Christian. And so what they did, this is on the streets, I think in the States somewhere, they filled a skip up with water. Imagine doing that on Beatrice Road, it'd be amazing, wouldn't it? And they decided to have a baptism service. And apparently, and I really believe it's true because I trusted the people telling me, that this guy went in to the waters of baptism to be cleansed and forgiven. And as he came out, the tattoos were gone. Now, when I was a teenager, I thought, I haven't got a story like that. I wonder what I've got to share with people. I'd love to have a story about something dramatic and miraculous and amazing happening like that. And for a long time, I kind of thought my story wasn't really worth telling, because actually my story, by the way, I love my story now, actually. I'm really proud of it. Not proud in an achievement way, but just proud to own it as mine. But my story is one of being raised by two wonderful parents who are also here today, who showed me what it was, who showed me that I was loved, and showed me that I was important, and communicated something of God's love to us in that way, as well as taking us to church and telling us about Jesus. And actually, that just made me a secure person. And then I got to know more about Jesus and encountered him in my life and decided I want to follow him. And there was no drama, really. I'm not a very dramatic person. There was no big drama, not very often anyway. But actually, that was my story. I wonder what your story is. Maybe it's of satanic tattoos coming off. Maybe you were the person in the skip. If you were, reveal yourself now. Or later, maybe. But your story is not a duplicate of anybody else's, nor can it be replicated by anyone else. God knows you. God knows me. God knew Zacchaeus as an individual who needed God to deal with him in just the way he did, and had a plan which was just for that person. I am really proud of my story now, because it's not a story really about me. It's a story about God who reaches down. Another line from that song, wonderful, Joe, that, you know, God's reached down to me within my darkness. He's done that for all of us in different ways and with different levels of drama, but he's done it for all of us. He's reached down to us. And I love telling my story actually now of what God's done. And there have been people who actually have, I dare say, connected with it more than the skip story, and it's spoken to them more. So whatever your story is today, I want to encourage you to treasure that story, to treasure the work that God has done in you. I want to encourage you to nurture that story as well, to see it as an ongoing story that God hasn't finished with you yet. It's a story that goes on. But crucially, be ready and be prepared and be willing and be proud to share the story with the people around you, because you never know. Your story might just be the one thing that compels somebody to understand that God really does love them, really is for them, not against them, and that they really can live for them. Maybe this morning you're thinking, I don't know that God's made any difference in my life. Maybe you actually don't know God today, and you're a bit like Zacchaeus, the guy in the story, kind of somewhere else, kind of looking on and not quite sure for yourself. I go back to the story of the games with the young people last week. The person who could share in the most free and engaging fashion was the person who had the most personal knowledge of what they were talking about. And in a moment, it will be my absolute privilege to preside over communion, getting emotional. Because that's God's love for us. That's his story, that he loves us. And we'll gather very informally along here and share bread and wine. And that was the disciples' story, that one night Jesus gave them bread and wine and said, "This is for you. I love you. Do this in remembrance of me." And we share in that story today. So as we take communion, I want to encourage you to invest personally in your story with God, to invite God in to your story today. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you love each person in this room and each person in this world with a dignity, with an honor, with a respect. Thank you that we each have a unique story, a story of laughter and tears and good and bad and things we're grateful for and maybe things we regret. But we invite you into that story today. Maybe for the first time, we want to invite the God who loves us into our lives. And as we gather around and share communion together, help us to remember all that you have done for us and that you call us into an intimate relationship with you where you feed us and you provide for us and you care for us. So may we know a story of being transformed by you, loved by you. And Lord, I pray that you would really give us the courage to share that story with the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.